Well, I'm open for calls. And I may be more open after this morning. I don't know anything that makes me happier than to see vigorous young ministers so dedicated and talented filling our movement around the world. And I sit here loving their platform development and presentations. Just a great game, marvelous game. Let's remember that Brother Carr will be teaching this afternoon in one of the sessions and ministering tonight. You're going to hear one of the finest in the world today. Man who has gained experience and momentum in almost every facet of our organization. I greatly respect and love Brother Carr. Praise God. So nice to see Sister Walden last night and tonight. Her husband was always the greatest of hosts. I think one of the reasons that he was summoned upstairs was they needed a little more laughter up there. When he laughed, it just lifted you. Praise God. So God touch Brother Janaway, because he has the same wonderful cheer in his soul. I can't stand people who look like an ad for Geritol, tired blood. There are many legends about me in Springfield, and one of them is that I just can't have a pious executive secretary. I don't want to look at a dreary face that says the Antichrist has just landed on the square and is due at the Assemblies of God at 12:01. I don't care. This afternoon in our session, I will construct, take apart for you, a typical message of Bible prophecy. It is so important today, something relevant, and show you how it can be done and applied today with great power in your pulpits. So bring your Bibles this afternoon. Bring your Bibles particularly. I'm sure that Brother Carr has just something special and extra for you. This morning, will you turn, please, to a medical doctor, Luke, an MD. He captures so much of our Lord. All the great stories that Jesus told can be found in Luke. And we turn to the second most popular one. The first is the prodigal. The second is the Samaritan. And we will not preach from that this morning, but we will teach from that this morning. And the teaching is contained in chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. My purpose in sharing is that you can apply it and use it in almost any facet of your operation. There are 10 rules for recovery, and that's our business: redeeming, recovering mankind. I suggest that you either mark them in sequence, or better, take a piece of paper or a shirt cuff, anything that's handy, and list them in sequence. Really, the best therapy is to paste them on a mirror so that you will see them for the next 90 days, and they become what Paul called engrafted, ingrown. Rule number one, as he journeyed, nothing can happen until you get off your differential and move. There aren't many good people in the Bible. They're all in the assemblies of God. Pretty hard for God to use a good person, because they're usually good for nothing. Just good. Number two, came where he was. Number three, when he saw him. Number four, had compassion. Number five, went to him. You're throwing money down the drain to go to seminars where they teach you wholesale soul winning. Can't be done. That's a piece of blue sky. It's always one-on-one. You don't win souls with a Betty Crocker mix. Number six, bound up his wounds. Everybody's hurt. Everybody's hurt. I've been hurt so badly in the Church of God that I should have ribbons, purple hearts from here to my belly button. Number seven, poured in oil and wine. You need both. Number eight, set him on his own beast. This is rule number eight that builds Southern Baptist churches all over the blocks. Just this one rule. Number nine, brought him to an end. That three-letter word is the best definition of the church in the world. The church is an inn, like the Holiday Inn, I-N-N. It isn't a museum or a corporation, it's an inn. And 10, isn't this dandy? Took care of him. It's so simple. The longer I preach shorter sermons, give longer invitations, and try to keep it simple. The other day I wasn't much of a Christian, and I was blaming myself for being stupid. I'd allowed a United Airlines agent to shove me in the back seat of a long Boeing stretch right next to the toilets. Right in the middle. And I've traveled millions of miles and I know better. And worse, I'd hardly been seated when somebody said across the aisle, "Aren't you Brother Ward?" But I was sitting next to a giant black, and he was much more of a gentleman than I was. And finally I said to him, "What do you do, sir?" And he said without flavor, "I'm a basketball player." He couldn't have whetted my curiosity more. I writhed under the thing. I wanted to know. I said, "For whom?" And he said, matter-of-fact way, "For the New York Knicks." I came alive. I became a Christian right then. So I said to him, "Now, when you guard all these fancy stars, what do you watch? Do you watch their head feints and their dancing hands and shifting feet, the sway of their hips?" And he laughed as though I were ignorant. He said, "No, sir. I watch their belly buttons. 'Cause until that moves, mister, he ain't going anywhere." So I got another lesson in simplicity. Bishop Sheen, the incomparable speaker in America, the great Catholic, likes to introduce this story, The Samaritan, by saying the reason that the priest and Levite passed by was that the poor man had fallen among thieves already. Number one, Luke, who gives us the Acts, says in retrospect how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. For what? Who went about doing what? Doing good. It's as simple as that. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I write each month to nervous Pentecostals. If God is satisfied in Jesus, why in the world can't you be? Why do you want to try to obtain some unobtainable thing? Keep it simple. If God was happy to have his blessed son just going about doing G-O-O-D, that's all you have to do 7 days a week. Just find something good to do. I asked an associate minister the other day at Lodi, California, I said, what good are you doing? His face brightened and he said, you know, we're teaching English to the wetbacks. Now, the wetbacks are those Mexicans, hand labor, that pick vegetables. They live in deplorable, unspeakable conditions. Most of them illegally across the border, in fear, underprivileged. Have you any idea what a Mexican heart feels when a white person comes to try and build a bridge and teach them a little English? What good have you done recently in your community? Or are you so interested in getting one more gift that a town is going to hell while you are trying to climb Jacob's ladder? Sister, I want to know something about you. Are you willing to go to a home and say, I'll sit with the children tonight, you go and have a good time at our revival meeting? Jesus went about just doing good. He went into kitchens. He went into cemeteries. He attended social gatherings. That's all God wants you to do. Anybody can do that. You don't have to have an executive name to do good. Just do good. Now, what's your market? See, that's what you always start with. You must define your market. Well, it's twofold. A, you're keeping notes. Those who have fallen among thieves, won't take you long to find these. This is the biggest day for thieves the world has ever known. And B, those who are half dead. That's a big market. That's a bigger market than Wrigley has for chewing gum. Let's start with business thieves. I have stayed at so many Holiday Inns that I should own stock. And I look at menus, and you know what a half a pink grapefruit is listed at today? Indian River, Corpus Christi Reds, 85 cents for a half a grapefruit. Now, would you multiply that by two? That's $1.70 for one grapefruit. If the buyer for that inn can't knock down a dozen grapefruit for $3 or $4, he's not going to work for the Holiday Inns. Have you any idea the difference between profit and greed today? God bless Jimmy Carter as he goes up against Goliath. He's going to need five smooth stones. One for the Bell Telephone Company. One for Texaco. Thieves! You girls that are going into supermarkets, you're being robbed every chance they get! Have you any compassion for poor people today? Working people, pensioners, folks struggling with take-home pay? I have a dentist in Springfield, Missouri. Good man. I look, you know, they want to x-ray you every time because there's money in that. Got a file full of x-rays. They know your insides better than God does. He looked at me and he said, you know, I'm putting my son through Duke University. I said, congratulations, but I don't want to put him through all by myself. Kind of share that. I doubt whether there'll be many doctors in heaven. And if there are, they'll go through the hard way, the northern gate.